Good evening. Welcome, everyone. I'm so glad you came tonight. And Foundations of Faith is a special class. Sandy asked me to develop it years ago because we feel like a lot of churches, and even ones that I'd been to previously, don't really teach their people how to the foundational truths of the faith. And so it's very important to learn. And we would say, well, most of us in this room are saved, and we are, but we need to learn how to share our faith. I have been doing biblical counseling for over 20 years and leading discipleship classes. And one thing I noticed was that some people, when they get saved, they do really well. The seed falls on good soil, and they do well, and they progress in their relationship with the Lord. And others seem to just keep rotating around and around and around. And I asked the Lord about that, and he says the difference is open doors. And so we're going to learn in session four, what is an open door, what are the four open doors, and why we should close them, and how easy it is to really close them. And a lot of Christians don't realize that even though they've given their heart to the Lord and become a Christian, there still are ways the enemy can get in through these open doors if the person has not shut them. So that's a very important class, and usually Sandy is here on that one, and she'll talk about familiar spirits and things like that, and it's really important and good to know. And especially, you know, we're all called to go and make disciples, and so as you're counseling and leading others to the Lord, you need to talk with them about that and how to close a door. So that is class number four. An overview of this class is called Foundations of Faith. It'll be today and tomorrow, and then next week, Monday and Tuesday. There's four classes. The first class tonight is Salvation, Assurance of Salvation, and the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And the second class is Prayer, the Holy Spirit, and the Baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the third class is the Bible. We're going to talk about how to memorize Scripture, how it's important, and about the Old Testament and the New Testament, different Bible versions, things like that. Session number four is how to overcome bad habits and form good godly habits, how to close doors. And there's lots of handouts. There's a lot of information every night. So if you have a question, just raise your hand, and we'll feel free to ask the question anytime during the class. And we'll be throwing in different handouts. And so a lot of it will not be able to be gone over every night, but they'll be like homework, like the little booklet that you got tonight. My Heart, Christ Home, and yours looks a little different because they've revised it now, the cover. This is homework. Read this tonight. You'll love it. That's on Lordship. And then I have one also for the younger children. So let's go ahead and get started on. And how many of you brought a Bible? I don't know if I announced to bring a Bible. Okay, great, great. Okay, so do I have a volunteer to read John 3, 1 through 8?
Okay, John 3, 1 through 8. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I'm going to 8, right? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it willeth, and thou hearest the sound of it, but canst not tell from where it cometh. For where it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit.
Thank you very much. And here Jesus is discussing a foundational doctrine of Christian faith, spiritual birth or regeneration. That's a big word for it, but that's one of the things we call it. Without new birth, no one can see the kingdom of God and receive eternal life and salvation through Jesus Christ. Regeneration is a recreating of spiritual life in the human heart by God the Holy Spirit. regeneration comes to all of us when we repent of our sin and we turn to God. Romans 3:23, a lot of you know that scripture. It says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." So there's no one perfect. We're not perfect. And the Lord is telling us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Regeneration involves a transition from the old life of sin, meaning the sinful nature or doing what you want to do, to a new life of loving obedience to Jesus Christ or doing what God wants. And that reference scripture is Galatians 5:16 through 26. And then you might ask, well, I'm saved. Why do I need to go over all this salvation stuff again? The reason I would say to that is because Jesus has commanded all of us in Matthew 28 to go at the Great Commission and to make disciples and to lead others to Christ. And so a good thing that we need to know is we need to know how to share our faith and to lead others to Christ because they need that. I was talking to somebody the other day over lunch, and he told me, he says, "I just really don't feel comfortable, you know, sharing my faith or leading someone to Christ." And so I said, "Well, come to my car. I'll give you some of these, you know, the steps to peace with God that I gave you guys." And I said, "If you are uncomfortable or not sure of how to share your faith, you can just go through that booklet and read through it." And we're going to do that in a little while. So it is important, and it's important that we are actively leading others to Christ. We should lead people to the Lord every day would be wonderful, every month, every year. Amen? What is the gospel? My son Greg, who's a pastor, he wrote this, and I thought it was very good. What is the gospel, and why do we need a Savior? The gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ came to this earth, and he lived a perfect life without any sin or blemish. He hung on the cross and gave his life in our place, and then rose again, conquering death. By Christ's suffering and ultimately dying in our place, we are now able to experience true life with God by believing what Jesus Christ did on the cross was for us. Then we experience regeneration that we just talked about, or a new life in which our lives are forever changed. We enter into a covenant with God, and our lives are considerably different from the time before we were saved. We no longer are slaves to sin, but pursue righteousness. So that is what the gospel is and why we need a Savior. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So how many of you have ever heard of the ABCs? You know, and a way to lead people to the Lord. Sure. So that's an easy way. Like somebody's talking to you about the Lord and you're like, okay, wait, I need to, you know, I don't have my booklet. I don't, you know, have my Bible with me. What is, remember ABC. Okay. So A is accept. B is believe. And C is confess. So if they accept Jesus, if they believe that he's the Son of God and they confess it with their mouth, then they're saved. You know, salvation's a free gift of God. I was talking to my dad about that today, you know, because I think for years he believed that you have to be good enough, you know, like at the end of your life, it's like a scale and you get weighed. And if, you know, if you're bad, you go down to hell. And if you're good, you get to go to heaven. And I said, well, you know, after we become saved, we do want to be good and obey the Lord. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me. But the difference is, that salvation is a free gift of God. And that scripture is found in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. 8, 9, and 10 I really like. The essentials of salvation are summarized in these verses. They center on the belief in the Lordship of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Faith involves not only believing the truth about Jesus in our minds, but responding with our hearts and our whole person. Faith must involve committing oneself publicly to Jesus as Lord, both in word and deed. Matthew 10, 32 and 33 is very important. And it says, Jesus said, "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father." There's another scripture that's very important. God wants everyone to be saved. Amen? 2 Peter 3:9 says, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4 says, this is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So if anybody ever asks you about that, there's two scriptures right there that shows that the Lord doesn't want anyone to perish without knowing him. He wants all to be saved. So this is the book I was just talking about a moment ago. It's Steps to Peace with God. And this is a great book. I buy them at Majesty, but where I first found them is when I was a counselor at the Billy Graham Crusade. So these are put out by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and I just love them. They have the adult version, and they also have a children's version, Steps to Peace with God. And what I do is I carry them with me, and I always have them in my purse, and I always have them in my car. And so whenever I give money to someone, I give them a tract also, you know, so that you're giving them hope besides just meeting their temporary needs. And so it's very important that you have them where you can reach them. So you're welcome to take a few and to use them. Yes, James? They come in a packet of 25, and I want to say they're about $8 for 25. So they're pretty reasonable. I just order them from Majesty. We also use them along with the salvation tract that Sandy made up. We give these to new believers, you know, along with My Heart, Christ, Home. So we want to give these to people so that they have something in their hands. But you can always just hand them this too, even if you're too afraid to even talk to them about the Lord. You can hand them and say, hey, why don't you read this? And then if you have any questions, come back and ask me about it. And I've actually used both of these with my parents. And parents are hard to witness to because they're older than you and they should know more than you and things like that. And so it was really fun to, you know, my mom passed away 2 years ago, and it was fun to be able to see that she had read this and she had signed her name and dated it. And I had the privilege of praying with her. And then I've also prayed with my dad several times, the first time when he had a heart attack, and then recently, you know, he forgets things a lot. So, he remembers now that he's saved, you know. And we had filled this out and signed it, and it's right there on his dining room table, you know. And so I think this is a wonderful book. And it's also very important to have kids' tracks, you know. I said I have the Steps to Peace with God for children. Here's little Nemo finding his father. That's a really cute one. You know, God loves you. So it's very important to have kids' tracks with you, too, and you can witness to children. Very important. So you can carry the tracks with you. You can give them out as the Holy Spirit leads. One time I was doing a hospital visitation, and I went by a car that, you know, had that sticker that, you know, like that Darwin kind of sticker on it, you know. I don't remember what it said. Yeah. And so I went and put that in their windshield, you know. So, I mean, there's a lot of creative ways you can use it. But, you know, the Holy Spirit tells you to do it, then do it, you know. And so I just think it's so important because, you know, they might forget the word you said, but this really will lead them through how to accept the Lord. So let's go through this quickly, and I'm not going to read all the scriptures on this, but it says, you know, God's purpose is peace in life. Why don't most people have this peace and abundant life that God planned for us to have? Well, the problem is they're separated from God, and you can see this is a wonderful little illustration of people. We're over here, we're separated from God because God's holy and we're sinful. And I like all the illustrations and our attempts to reach God. You know, we have all these different ways that we think we can reach God. 1, good works. 2, religion. 3, philosophy. 4, morality. But they all fall short because none of us are holy and only God's holy. So we cannot reach a holy God. So the only way we can is through a bridge, which is Jesus Christ, and that's the cross there. And so it explains that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. And that's 1 Timothy 2:5. But God provided a way, the only way. Each person must make a choice. And our response is to receive Jesus Christ. We must trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and receive him by personal invitation. And I love this verse in Revelation 3, verse 20, where it says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." Revelation 3:20. And so it says, where are you? You know, are you over here, you know, with a sinful man, or have you crossed over, used the bridge to reach a holy God? The bridge is Jesus Christ. And how you can receive Jesus Christ is, one, admit your need. Confess that you're a sinner. Be willing to turn from your sins and repent. Believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and rose from the grave. Through prayer, invite Jesus Christ to come in and control your life through the Holy Spirit. Receive him as Lord and Savior. And so it's just a very simple prayer. You can lead them in it and remember the ABCs, accept, believe, confess. And inside here they have a little prayer. "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name, amen." And God's assurance is his word, and we're going to talk about that tonight too, is that how can we be sure that we are saved? And so God, the Lord gives us assurance through his word. And the Bible says, you know, that he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. And that's 1 John 5:12. And at the back of this booklet, it says some things you should do as a Christian. One, read your Bible every day to get to know Jesus better. Talk to God in prayer every day. Tell others about Jesus Christ. Worship, fellowship, and serve with other Christians in a church where Jesus Christ is preached. And as Jesus Christ's representative in a needy world, demonstrate your new life by your love and concern that you have for others. And remember, when we lead somebody to the Lord, they're a new baby, and we need to help them. Just like new babies need to be fed, we need to help the new Christians and feed them. And then eventually they begin to be able to start feeding themselves. But it's very important that we lead somebody to the Lord, but we also give them the tools to grow and help them. Amen? Okay, what are some ways you could use tracts or any of these tools that we talked about to witness for the Lord? Any comments on that? Okay. Yeah. So if people, they're hard to talk to, or you feel really uncomfortable, but then you're feeling the urging of the Holy Spirit to share with them the gospel, you can just say, you know, "Here, I just want to give this to you. You know, read it, and if you have any questions, you know, come back to me." And then it really opens a way. But it really, it's very important, you know. In Matthew 28, the Lord says, "Go and make disciples," you know. And so, not just the missionaries, just not just the pastors or the evangelists are called to go and make disciples. We all are. So it's very important. And then remember, too, that in God's word, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9, it says, "What, after all, is Apollos, and who? What is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he that plants nor he that waters is anything, but only God makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God building." So what it means here is, like salvation, you know, some sow, some water, some harvest, you know. But the one thing you have to remember is prayer tills the ground. So, you know, if you're going to invite people to church or invite people to accept the Lord, you have to till the ground by your prayers going forth first. Amen on that? Any other comments? Okay. So the next handout that I wanted to go over is part of your homework for tonight, and it's a biblical self-confrontation essential for discipleship. So what this is this following will help you to evaluate your faithfulness as a disciple of Christ. For each question, rate yourself on a scale of 0, no faithfulness, complete self-centeredness, to 10, perfect faithfulness, total Christ-centeredness. So this is just a little homework, and I give this to people that I counsel to kind of be able to see how they're doing in their Christian life and what areas they could stand to improve on. And a good scripture to go along with this is Galatians 5:16-26, the sinful nature versus the fruit of the Spirit. And so use this in your counseling and your discipling, and it's just a really good quiz. Okay, so salvation. There's different words we use for that, being saved, born again, regeneration that we talked about. Years ago, I taught a Sunday school class of five-year-olds, and they were mainly bussed in, you know, like not having grown up in a church family. And so I would always teach them the Bible stories, but I would always lead them to the Lord, too. And so I would teach them about salvation. And one day, I'll never forget, I asked the kids, I said, so does anybody know what being saved is? You know, one little boy, he raised his hand. I'm like, yes. And he goes, it's like when your house is on fire and a fireman comes and saves you from the fire. And I go, well, actually, that's a pretty good analogy, you know. And I've never forgot that. But that in his simple, you know, faith, he was saying that that's what it is. And really, that's what salvation is. The Lord saves us, you know. Sometimes from ourselves, sometimes, you know, from hell and from doing the wrong things. And so that is a very good analogy. There's different things we talk about. The ABCs, remember, accept, believe, confess, scripture. There's the Romans Road, Romans 10, 9, and 10 we talked about earlier. I'd like somebody to read for me Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. And that scripture has been really good. I have quoted that to my dad because he had a hard time. He says, well, now I know I'm saved, but I'm still not sure I'm good enough to get into heaven. I said, well, let me quote you this scripture, Dad. So who's ready with that scripture?
For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, that is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Amen. That is an excellent scripture, and that's a really good one to commit to memory for, especially if you're witnessing to people that think you have to be good to get into heaven. You have to, you know, you have to do a certain thing or jump through so many hoops. And I'd be like, no, it's the blood of Jesus that saves us and washes us and cleanses us, you know, and it's by grace through faith that we're saved. Amen. And so that's one that you can commit to memory. And then Ephesians 2:10 that our brother just read, you know, that says God's created each one of us to do good works. You know, he's prepared them in advance, and he wants us to do good works for him. And so that talks about, you know, if somebody says, well, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do for the Lord, or, you know, well, each of us have a calling and gifting, and we have a life that the Lord wants us to live. Other scriptures to go along with that, which I'm not going to read, but I'll list them, is Romans 5:10, 1 Peter 1, 18 through 20. God has a purpose for each one of our lives. One of the best ways to witness is to tell them what the Lord has done for you in your life. Why is that one of the best ways to witness? Any answers? That's right. You're a living example. And what can they argue with what the Lord's done in your life? No. So that's a really good way to witness, to say, you know, I just need to tell you what the Lord's done for me in my life. And so that's a really good way to witness. I'm going to go over salvation and assurance of salvation and the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Assurance of salvation. How can you know that you're saved? And remember, I gave you guys a scripture handout, too. This has all the foundations of faith scriptures. of salvation scriptures, assurance scriptures, and lordship scriptures. Now, this is not all-encompassing, but it has a lot. I want to add a couple more. I would like to add Romans 5:8 to the salvation scriptures and Luke 9:23 and 24. I love that scripture because Luke 9:23, Jesus says, "If any of you want to follow me, they must deny themselves, pick up their cross daily, and follow me." So that's a very good scripture, and that's a really good scripture to use in discipling and also counseling. John 1:12 is a very great scripture of assurance. "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Because some people you may have led to the Lord and they're like, "But I don't know if I'm really saved," you know? And so then you can read them John 1:12. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:13 is another great assurance scripture. "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." 1 Peter 3:15 is a very good scripture to know also. "But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be ready to give an answer to everyone that asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect." Now, why is that important in that scripture? You know, have you ever thought about that? Why is it? I mean, of course, we have to be able to explain our faith and be ready to explain it. But why do you think, you know, God in his holy word put in, "But do it with gentleness and respect"? Yes. Right, right. We wouldn't make too many disciples either, would we, if we didn't use gentleness or respect, right? Any other comments? Yes. They have a choice. They still have a choice. Yes. And that is something that's very important. You know, God gave all of us free will. And so they have to make a choice. And we don't want to, like, cram it down their throat. We want to live the life in front of them, have them come to us, and we need to be able to witness and disciple those. Okay. So one of the things that I think is very important is to write a personal testimony. And this is something that I learned to do when I took a biblical counseling class. The first thing you do is you write like an outline of your life, you know, for your testimony. Write a 10-second testimony and a 30-second testimony. And that way, you're ready to share it. So I'm going to share with you my personal testimony of how I accepted the Lord, okay? So my outline, first I'm going to write an outline. So this is how you write an outline. The first thing is your life before conversion, okay? So that's the first section of an outline, life before conversion. Then you have conversion, and then you have life after conversion. So this is my personal outline. "I was a 15-year-old teenager that needed love, peace, and happiness. Conversion. I knew I needed a Savior, and giving my life to him would be the only way I could find happiness and peace. Life after conversion. God's love and acceptance filled my heart with peace and joy." See, I wasn't raised in a Christian household, you know. My parents believed in God, but, you know, they didn't take us to church. I mean, I can remember a few times going to church, but we didn't, like, on a rule, go to church every Sunday. And so what happened, you'll see, when I read my 10-second and 30-second testimony, this is how I came to the Lord. "When I was a teenager, I recognized that to be truly happy, I would need to have Jesus Christ in my life. So I gave my heart to him, and he saved me and gave me a purpose for living." So see, that's an easy 10-second testimony that I wrote out of my outline. Now here's my 30-second testimony. "When I was 15, my parents divorced, and it left me feeling hurt and alone. We also moved to a new town, Fresno, and we moved there. My first friend I made was a dedicated Christian. I remember I was horrified at, like, going to school and not having anyone to eat lunch with. That was like I was 15, you know. But at the first recess, my friend Denise came up to me, and she was a dedicated Christian. And through her witnessing, I realized that I needed a Savior. I also realized that it was going to be the only way I was going to be able to be happy and to have peace and have a happy marriage. I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, and he has truly been my best friend and Savior. I now have true happiness, peace, and joy, and a wonderful Christian family, a husband and two sons. Well, now I have a daughter-in-law and two grandchildren, too, but this was in the year 2000 I wrote this. I daily give my life to the Lord to be used for his glory, and I also love to help lead others to him also. So you see how writing a personal testimony is important, you know, because it's important to share our faith. The Lord's commanded us to do that. And if we love the Lord, we'll obey him, but we also care about the things Jesus cares about, and that's salvation, that none should perish. Amen? Okay. So that's writing a personal testimony. You can share that. You should also hide God's word in your heart, Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Pray every day, go to church. The things that it talks about on the back of Steps to Peace with God, and you want to teach those that you're discipling and leading to the Lord too. Some additional scriptures are John 14:15, Romans 8:12-14, 2 Timothy 2:12. So now we're going to talk about lordship and what it means. A really important thing about lordship, making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you not just accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you've made him Lord of your life. Because one thing I've found, if you don't make Jesus Lord of your life, it will not result in a lasting salvation. So lordship. Lordship is praying and inviting Jesus Christ to come in and take control of your life through the Holy Spirit. It's turning control of your life over to Jesus. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, he becomes not only our Savior, but also our sovereign Lord and Master. We are under new ownership. We can more fully enjoy our life in Christ as we daily seek his will and follow him in obedience. This is a very interesting fact. Jesus is specifically called Savior 16 times in the New Testament and Lord more than 450 times. See why that's so important? Lord means having dominion, power, and authority, and the right to master. Remember, receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior, but not making him Lord of your life, will not result in a lasting salvation. So I brought this nice little, Alan says it's a Corvette, so all I know is it's some little car, it doesn't have a roof on, and since the first class, it's been, the windshield's been broken by my grandson, so he's played with it a little, but I took it out of the toy box and I brought it again because it's a good illustration of lordship. So here we are, we're going along, we're driving our car, you know, we accept the Lord and we're like, hey, Jesus, yeah, we accept you, get in, you know, we'll go, come along for the ride with me. But, you know, here he is, he's getting in the passenger seat, right? Well, what's wrong with that illustration? Yeah. Hey, did you write that song? So anyway, so that's not going to result in a very good road trip, is it? Right? You're still in control. Jesus is in the passenger seat. You have Jesus, but he's not really in control of your life. So what he should do is he should get in the driver's seat, right? And we should get in the passenger seat. And then that is a good illustration. So I know that kind of, yeah, I know that seems kind of funny, but it just gives you a visual of what lordship is. Okay, any questions on lordship? Okay, some other scriptures on that is Acts 2:36-40, Acts 8:16, Acts 19:5, 1 Corinthians 12:3. And if you think about it, one of the best scriptures on lordship is love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you know. And that's really putting him as Lord of your life. Okay, I'd like to end, and I'll read Matthew 28, the Great Commission. We talked about it when we started, that it's very important to know what we believe, have an assurance of salvation, know that for sure we're saved, and make him Lord of our lives. That will result in a lasting salvation. Okay, so Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, and this is called the Great Commission. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So there Jesus is telling us, he says, go and make disciples and baptize people and teach them to obey the Lord. And so that is a commandment for each one of us that we're supposed to do. And it's also so important in our salvation. It's very exciting to lead people to the Lord or to help them give their hearts back to the Lord and to learn to live an overcoming Christian life and just to be able to talk to people. So this is a good thing to carry with you also. And if you're talking to people, what I always give it to everyone I counsel because it describes our heart and giving the Lord complete control of each one of our hearts. And it's so important. And it says here, "I will never forget the evening I invited Jesus into my heart. What an entrance he made. It was not a spectacular emotional thing, but very real, occurring at the very center of my soul. He came into the darkness of my heart and turned on the light. He built a fire in the cold hearth and banished the chill. He started music where there had been stillness and harmony where there had been discord. He filled the emptiness with his own loving fellowship. I will never regret opening the door to Jesus Christ, ever." This, of course, was the first step in making my heart Christ's home. And so what it does is it goes through different areas of your heart. And sometimes we find that even as Christians, when we've given the Lord our heart, we've held back one area or one part of it. So tonight I'd like you to read this and really give the Lord complete control of your heart and life. And that's tomorrow. We'll be going over prayer of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so I'd just like to invite Sandy to come up, say a few words. I always like her to say a few things. And tomorrow we'll be having the other class.
It's good to see everybody. I had a phone call today from somebody who was concerned about their heart because, we all woke up to the news in Las Vegas. So many had lost their lives, and so many more were injured. And I guess this person didn't know that the man killed himself. And he was calling because he was upset because he said, "I really don't want him in heaven. I want the shooter to go to hell. I expect him to be in hell. He should be in hell. He needs to go there, and he should not be in heaven. Now, I'm pretty sure I'm wrong, and you need to straighten me out. So call me back." Okay. So I called them back, and I said, "Well, those are natural feelings for you, except that why isn't it automatically you grieve for his soul, and rather you judge his dying soul based on acts he did overwhelmed by the enemy? So you have to understand when somebody goes to hell, God is sad about that. He grieves over that. So if we're his children, we're supposed to want what he wants. And doesn't that go across every line and every border and everything?" And so I said, "The Bible says that Jesus doesn't want anybody to go to hell. And also, I don't know if you know it, but the guy's dead." He goes, "Well, praise the Lord, he probably went to hell." I'm like, "Well, no, that's..." "Probably not good." But the idea is that the more Christ-minded we become, the less of a liability we are to the kingdom of God. And the goal is to not be a liability to the kingdom of God. So I appreciate you all coming. And thank you, Karen. This is effortful for you. And she tries to make it easy so the younger ones can understand. And it's I think she makes quite an effort there. So let's pray. Father, I thank you that your will is perfect. I thank you, Lord, that you bless our endeavors toward you, Lord. Thank you for that. Cause us to take these things we've learned, Lord. And Lord, make it, Father, so that we can bless you. May we desire to bless you and thereby bless others, Lord. Thank you for that privilege. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Karen.